Eternal Life by Pete Baumgartner. Introduction. The phrase eternal life is used 26 times in the King James Version of the Bible, in the New Testament only. The Greek word translated as eternal each of the 26 times is aionios, which means perpetual. The Greek word translated as life each of the 26 times is zoe, which means life. The phrase everlasting life is used 11 times in the King James Version of the Bible, once in the Old Testament, 10 times in the New Testament. The same Greek word, aionios, was translated everlasting each of the 10 times this phrase was used in the New Testament. The Hebrew word olam was translated everlasting the only time the phrase was used in the Old Testament. This Hebrew word means concealed. It refers to the vanishing point and is generally identified as eternity. The Greek word zoe was translated as life each of the 10 times the phrase everlasting life was used in the New Testament. The Hebrew word chai was translated as life the only time this phrase was used in the Old Testament. It means alive or life. From these definitions, we can conclude that eternal or everlasting life is life without end. Daniel 12:2 says, many of those who sleep in the dust will awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. The eternal destiny of an individual is determined by one's choices in this physical life. Matthew 19:29 teaches that anyone who forsakes all to follow Jesus will inherit everlasting life. John 3:16 teaches that anyone who believes in Jesus as the Son of God will not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:36 declares that anyone who believes in the Son has everlasting life. Conversely, anyone who does not believe in the Son will not see life. The wrath of God abides on the unbeliever. John 4:14 records Jesus saying, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. The water that I will give him will be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. John 5:24 teaches that one who hears the words of Jesus and believes in him who sent him has everlasting life and will not come into condemnation. He has passed from death to life. John 6:40 declares that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him is granted everlasting life. God will raise the believer at the last day. John 6:47 affirms that one who believes in Jesus has everlasting life. The previous scriptures give hope to those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God and receive him into their hearts by faith. We have looked briefly at eternal life and how it is obtained, but I want us to look deeper into the scriptures and learn exactly what God is saying to us concerning eternal life. What is eternal life? Eternal life is life without end. The natural man has difficulty understanding life without end. From the time we are born, we are either consciously or unconsciously programmed to prepare for or to expect death. The truth is, natural people do not live forever. Consequently, those who pursue the natural do not understand spiritual life. There are two contrasting lives that are experienced by humanity. One relates to the external, physical man. The other relates to the internal, spiritual man. Hebrews 9:27 teaches that death awaits all humanity and judgment comes after death. The death spoken of in this verse is physical death. The judgment mentioned is what one experiences after physical death, just retribution. In chapters 2, 20, and 21 of the Revelation, a second death is mentioned. This death is a spiritual death, which is separation from God. Eternal life comes as a result of union with God. Conversely, second death, or eternal death, is separation from God. One's spirit never ceases to exist. It will either live eternally with God or be removed from God's presence forever. From these thoughts, we understand that eternal life is directly related to God. One cannot experience eternal life without uniting with God's life, which comes through Jesus' Son. John 1:1-4 says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. This Word was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him nothing exists that He did not make. In Him was life, and the life was the illumination of humanity." From this passage of Scripture, we understand that eternal life comes as a result of union with Jesus, just as surely as physical life comes as a result of union between a man and woman. Apart from Jesus, one cannot experience eternal life. A living sperm and egg produce natural life. A living spirit produces spiritual life. God is spirit. He procreated Jesus by the Spirit. Jesus procreates us by the Spirit when we believe in Him. Eternal life is a gift given to those who recognize and accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Those who do not know and accept Jesus experience only physical life. Without Jesus, they're separated from eternal life because eternal life comes through Him. Eternal life is living in union and communion with the true and living God and His Son, Jesus the Christ. Eternal life begins with a new birth, which is a spiritual birth. One who is born naturally identifies with his or her natural ancestors. One who is born spiritually identifies with his or her spiritual ancestors, Jesus and God the Father. Those who are born naturally have a human nature, sometimes referred to as the Adamic nature, which is the nature of the first man, Adam. Those who are born spiritually have a divine nature, which is the nature of God. Spiritual birth, which produces eternal life, occurs when one believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. According to 1 John 5:1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Romans 10:9-10 says, "If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation." In John 3, Jesus told Nicodemus that unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He went on to say, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." He told Nicodemus not to be amazed that he said, "You must be born again." Nicodemus was thinking naturally. He did not understand spiritual birth. Natural birth is manifested through works. It requires physical action. Spiritual birth is manifested through faith. Spiritual birth is the result of what one believes, not what one does. Consequently, eternal life is received by faith. One must believe in the redemptive work of Jesus in order to receive eternal life. One who receives eternal life is born again. God's life enters into him, bringing about the new birth. In John 5:24, Jesus declared, "Truly, truly, I say to you, He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and will not come into condemnation. He has passed from death to life. Obviously, the death mentioned in this passage of Scripture is not physical death. Everyone born into the world is a descendant of Adam. Therefore, we are all recipients of Adam's sin, which separates us from God. Separation from God is spiritual death. One who hears God's word and accepts Jesus as his or her personal Savior moves from separation from God to union with God, from spiritual death to eternal life. The natural man has temporary life. He is destined to die. The spiritual man has perpetual life. He never dies because he has the nature of God. Unlike human nature that dies, God's nature is not associated with death. Natural birth occurs when the natural unites with the natural. Spiritual birth occurs when the spiritual unites with the spiritual. Man's spirit unites with God's spirit. Natural birth reproduces life that consummates in death. Spiritual birth reproduces life that continues perpetually. Death comes when life ceases. Eternal life never ceases. Therefore, death is removed from one who has been born again. When Jesus was crucified, he committed his life to the Father. Men did not kill him. He relinquished his life for 3 days into his Father's care. John 10, 17 through 18 gives insight into this statement. Jesus declared that no man could take his life, but he would lay it down and take it back. He possessed eternal life. He entrusted his life to the Father in order for his body to die. After 3 days, he received his life back from the Father and came forth from the tomb. The body which was dead because life had left it arose when life came back into it. Romans 6, 9 teaches that Christ has been raised from the dead and that he will not die again. Death does not have dominion over him. Eternal life has dominion over death. According to Revelation 20, 14, death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. This event is called the second death. Death will be eternally separated from God and those who are with him. In this natural world, the believer lives in a physical body which is mortal and corruptible. This body is subject to death. The occupant of this body is spiritual. It is not mortal or corruptible. It is not subject to death. 2 Corinthians 5:8 teaches us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When the believer's body dies, his or her spirit goes to be with the Lord until the time of the resurrection of these bodies, as stated in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 17 and 1 Corinthians 15:51 through 55. Just as Jesus' spirit entered back into his body when he was resurrected, the spirits of the believers will enter into their bodies, bringing about another resurrection. These resurrected bodies will never again experience death because they, like the occupant, the spirit, will have eternal life. We must also point out that the spirit of an unbeliever never ceases to exist. It does not die and decay. However, it is separated from God, who is life. Separation from God, or life, is spiritual death. The bodies of the unbelievers will also be resurrected to be judged and punished. Their departed spirits, which are the life of their bodies, will return and enter into their bodies and await the final judgment, which is eternal separation from God, incarcerated in a lake of fire. Eternal life or eternal death? The choice is ours. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive eternal life. Refuse to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be eternally separated from God, who is life. Which will it be? Eternal life or eternal death? Union with God or separation from God? What must I do to be saved? Salvation equips one with eternal life. Eternal life equips one with divine nature. What must one do to be saved? According to Acts 2:38, one must repent and be immersed into the name of Jesus Christ so his sins can be remitted. Afterwards, he is eligible to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Immersion into Jesus forgives and remits one's sins. The Holy Spirit imparts eternal life. When the keeper of the prison in Philippi asked Paul and Silas what he must do to be saved, they told him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation begins and ends with faith. Faith works by love. Love covers a multitude of sins. In order to be saved, one must love God more than himself. When we humble ourselves before the Lord and accept him as the Son of God and Savior of humanity, salvation begins. We believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, and with our mouths we confess what we believe. We declare Jesus as Savior and Lord. Our love for the Lord activates our faith. God loves us so much that he initiated salvation. He sent his Son Jesus into the world so that everyone who would believe in him could have eternal life. Salvation revolves totally around Jesus. Without Jesus, one cannot be saved. Only through Jesus can anyone be saved. Religion requires more than faith in Jesus. Religion advocates accepting Jesus. However, religious people want to add their own agenda to salvation. Paul encountered this problem in the church at Galatia. Those to whom he had preached the gospel of Jesus had received salvation by faith in the gospel message. Later, because of wrong influence, they placed emphasis on works. They began adding circumcision, a work of the flesh, to the gospel message. Paul rebuked them for their actions. He said, "You did run well. Who influenced you not to rely on the truth?" After beginning their walk in the Spirit, they were trying to complete it with works of the flesh. Today, religion is still doing the same thing. Religious people imply that faith in Jesus is not enough. That belief is contrary to the Scriptures. Jesus is our salvation. He is the initiator of salvation. Peter declared in Acts 4:12, that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What must one do to be saved? Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and receive him as Savior and Lord. Salvation is Jesus plus nothing. Salvation is complete in Jesus. How do I receive the Holy Spirit? Everything from God, including the Holy Spirit, is received by faith. According to Acts 2:38, the Holy Spirit is a gift, God giving himself to us. The prerequisite for receiving the Holy Spirit is repent and be immersed into the name of Jesus the Christ for forgiveness of sin. After meeting these requirements, one can receive the Holy Spirit. One must be willing to change his or her ways, be immersed into the ways of Jesus, and allow the Holy Spirit to lead him or her. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus gave this mandate, "Go and disciple all nations. Immerse them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." This mandate is not a formula for water baptism. It is a command to thoroughly teach people the distinction of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is imperative for the believer to understand each member of the Godhead as he relates to his or her personal life. God the Father is our source and protection. Jesus is our access to the Father, and the Holy Spirit is our teacher witness, and guide to truth. God the Father has provided eternal life for all humanity. This life can be obtained only through Jesus. The Holy Spirit reveals this life by leading us to Jesus. Romans 8:14 declares that those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit leads us to eternal life. As stated earlier, the Holy Spirit is a gift. A gift must be received. A gift cannot be earned. It is either received or rejected. In Luke 3:16, John the Baptist declared that Jesus is the one who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. Consequently, one must believe in and receive the baptizer before he or she can be baptized. The sequence for receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit is repent, receive Jesus, then receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. One does not earn the Holy Spirit, he or she receives him. If the Holy Spirit could be earned, it would not be a gift. So how does one receive the Holy Spirit? Believe that God wants him living in you and ask God for the Holy Spirit. Luke 11:13 gives insight into receiving the Holy Spirit. If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? According to this scripture, one should ask the Father for the Holy Spirit. We know from the scriptures that our access to the Father is through the name of Jesus. Therefore, we ask the Father in the name of Jesus for the Holy Spirit. After asking the Father for the Holy Spirit, thank him for the gift. Receiving the Holy Spirit is as simple as following the protocol of the scriptures. Repent, be immersed into the name of Jesus, ask and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus the baptizer is more than willing to baptize anyone who will follow this protocol. Conclusion. God loves humanity so much that he has made provision for all who will receive him to live with him eternally. God does not delight in the death of anyone. He prefers that we repent, not die. He wants to impart his life into people, but he will not violate his word to accommodate anyone. The only way to gain eternal life is through Jesus the Christ, who is the Son of God. One who repents and receives Jesus as his or her personal Savior must also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, one will never come to the knowledge of truth that leads to life everlasting. God has given us the opportunity to live with him forever. We must not neglect this great salvation that he offers through his Son, Jesus, nor the gift of the Holy Spirit, who reveals the way, the truth, and the life.